It's good to see you out this morning. I know we've got some sick folks, so that's not here. So the class is a little short this morning, but we thank the Lord for you. And Miss Judy handed me a card, and I'm going to read it to you. And it's to the class here. It's in the death of her sister, Violet. Says, I just wanted to thank you each and every one of you for the prayers and the concerns for my sister Violet. She was aware of all your prayers, and I would tell her that my Sunday school class was praying for her every week. And she would smile and say, tell them thank you for me. It meant a lot. Meant so much to her and me. It is such a blessing to know you have people praying for you, and thank you again from me and Violet. Love all of you, Judy Martin. So if you'd like to see this card, I'll lay it right here, and after the class you can come up and look at it if you'd like to. Okay, today is December 28th, 2025, last Sunday class that we'll have for this year, 2025. And we just thank God for the year, thank Him for how He's blessed us, blessed our class, and blessed our church. And we're so thankful for those blessings. The end of the year giving, the deadline is Wednesday, this coming Wednesday on the 31st, and it will take just a few days to get everything together and get all of this given out for the record on that. So also the birthday offering continues for Jesus. That'll continue through January 28th. And that's going to the two children's homes. And just remind you of that, so you've got plenty of time to give to that if that's what your wish is. So, also, we got registration for the couples retreat, which will be February the 27th, 28th. And that's... if you want the early bird special, you got to do that by January the 7th, I believe. So, also, Pastor is encouraging us to read the Bible through this year. And we made that a habit a long time ago, and it's such a blessing to read the Bible through. And I don't know if you're like me, but every time I read it through, I see something I think, I don't know if I've read that before. And so God opens our eyes. He opens our hearts, and we see new things that He shows us. So we read it through. There's some schedules out in the lobby out there along the glass windows out front. And if you want to follow a schedule, or Preacher Lastly would always tell us, you know, you read three chapters a day and five on Sunday, and it'll get you through the Bible in a year. So you can do that any way that you feel comfortable doing it. Also, I want to remind you that next Sunday, the 4th of January, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper in the evening service. That's the PM service, okay? So we'll be doing that next Sunday. Getting into prayer requests, David Lawson, who him and his wife have tended here while they're staying with his mother, they're traveling back and forth. He has a lot of health issues. He's going to have open heart. They've scheduled that for him on February the 17th. Of 26, so he's still up in Illinois, and y'all pray for him. We'll keep reminding you that that's coming up. So we're still praying for Wanda Simpson. Wanda is still weak, and she's had a really, really hard recovery from this broken hip. Also, we're blessed to have Lois back with us today, and she says she's feeling some better, so that's good. She's got those procedures on her legs done. And y'all just remember to pray for her, that God will give her strength. Also, Paul Gray is in rehab now, and he's the one that had the hip replacement too, and he's Wexler's brother. So I know most of you don't know him, but try to remember him in prayer. And all of this is on your sheet here, that the prayer request that we hand out. Brother Philip has had three treatments this week, and he said they went good. He's naturally weak, so y'all continue to pray for Philip as he takes these treatments. Also, there's another lady on here, Terry Millsap, and she's going to start her radiation for lung cancer in January. She don't have a date yet, but she's the one that takes care of Mrs. Lawson when her son is not here. So y'all pray for Terry. For the birthdays, we got Jim Armisen this week. I understand that he and Tony is not going to be here for a few Sundays. And so y'all pray for Jim. It'll be January the 3rd. And then when they got married on Jim's birthday, so it's going to be their anniversary too on January 3rd. And just pray that everything will go good for them on that day. I don't have anything else this morning, so does anyone have an unspoken or anything you'd like to say? Yes, ma'am. And that's Miss Judy Martin, and everything's okay. All right, let's go to the Lord, and we'll let Brother Philip come. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for a wonderful year. God, there's been so many blessings that have come this year, Lord. And, you know, even though the valleys are there too, Lord, you always see us through them, Lord. You never did say that we wouldn't have those valleys, but Lord, you said you'd go with us. And Lord, you have, and we thank you for it. And Lord, I did forget to mention here a few minutes ago, Lord, the Forens, they're having some issues in their family, Nathan, and I pray that you will help them with this problem and stuff they're having. And Father, just bring them through. And Lord, for Miss Tipton, pray that you'll be with her. She had a TMI or whatever you call that, light stroke, Lord. And she's over in the hospital at Franklin Woods. I want to pray for her. Pray, dear God, that you'll touch her and raise her back up. Lord, there's so many things, Lord. And pray that you will be with each and every one of these. We got people going through rehab. We got people that's just sick. And then we got a lot of people, Lord, that are shut in and they can't get out. And Lord, the time of the year, there's a lot of sickness. And so just be with them, Father. And Lord, we pray today for Brother Philip as he teaches. We also pray for Pastor Herbin as he preaches today. Lord, I do pray for Michael and Victoria as they come and present themselves to our church, Lord. They'll be missionaries out to West Africa. And Father, I pray that you be with all these things, Lord. And God, may what we do glorify you. May we lift you up, Lord. And in this coming year, Lord, may our goal to be, Lord, what glorifies you. And Lord, just may we do that. And Lord, thank you again for your love and for watching over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Danny. Am I turned on? I am not turned on. Hello, Rick. Hello. Ah, there we are. Wake up. All right, if you would, turn to Revelation chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 1. I am going to suspend our normal lesson from James chapter 2 for this last Sunday of 2025. We'll look at a church here, and I'd like to remind you of some things. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, the church. He's amongst us today. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Now, that's a good church, amen? Now, you don't do that without being around for a while. This is a church of long standing. They have borne, they have labored, they have fought, they have served. And I would imagine in that church are a bunch of gray heads just like you and me. Yes, yes, this is a church of long standing. These are people that are good people that have served God. They've been on the buses. They've been up in the classes. I mean, they've been out knocking on. These are those kind of people. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. All these good things, all this service, all this dedication, all this labor, all this patience, yet they forgot something. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. I would like today to do what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:1. I'd like to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Remember, remember first love and first works. Do you remember when you were a newborn babe? I do. 50 years ago almost, longer for some of you. As newborn babes, we desired the sincere milk of the word for one reason: that we might grow thereby. I mean, we desired it. It wasn't just coming to church, amen? It wasn't just hearing a sermon. We wanted that book so much, and we were so sincere. Do you remember? We were so sincere, the sincere milk of the word, that we would grow. Thy words were found, Jeremiah 15. We found them. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Ah, now we're getting down to it. It's not just finding them. There's lots of people that come and just hear preaching, and there's lots of people that just make their way through as a duty through the Bible in a year. But there was a time in your life when you loved the Lord Jesus Christ, first love, and your first works were to find the truth in this book and to eat it. And guess what? It was the joy and rejoicing of your heart. Do you remember? You were like that heart in Psalm 42, verse 1. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. Do you see that deer there? That was you praying. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Do you remember? Do you remember? remember, let me stir up your pure heart. That panting was your prayer that God would open up this book that you might have your soul refreshed. Why? Why did we do that? Why did we pant so hard after God? Because we wanted to know the mind of the Lord. We wanted to cast down every imagination. Do you remember? We wanted to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And we wanted to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you remember those first works? Do you remember how sincere you were about it? How zealous you were for it? Oh, how you wanted to know the mind of the Lord. Why, by the way? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Here it is. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, in Bible exposition, it's sometimes very difficult to know about pronouns. Who is that pronoun referring to, right? You've probably run into that. Let's put a name to that and see if it works. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct the Lord? No, that don't work, does it? That doesn't even make sense. So, who is this him? Let's drop back one verse. Are you there? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath the mind of the Lord that he, that spiritual man, may instruct himself in all things? You and I got into this book back there in those first works when we so loved the Lord Jesus Christ and we wanted to know the mind of the Lord. Why? So that we might instruct that spiritual man, that spiritual man might bring everything. Do you remember that we might bring everything in our life into judgment? We didn't leave anything out, did we? Did we? No, we were so zealous. I mean, we wanted it to be right. Correct? That's why we wanted to know the mind of the Lord, so that we could instruct that spiritual man. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that we were probably more spiritual as babes in Christ than we are today. Because we were so in love and we were so earnest about those first works. We wanted to know the mind of the Lord because we wanted to judge all things in our life. So we sought this book out. Everything, all things. Oh, how spiritual we were, and still just taking baby steps. We were very spiritual, and God was very pleased, and God blessed us. Amen? And we grew, and there was fruit, and there was blessing, and it was a wonderful thing. Do you remember the joy of it? But to have the mind of Christ, now that's a thing, isn't it? But to have the mind of Christ, what did we do? Psalm 1. Verse 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Everybody in here could quote it, I'm sure. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Put that aside for a second. But, you can finish it, can't you? You've been there. You memorized this when you were a young Christian. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Here it is. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That is exactly what you did when you first got saved. Right? First works. In his law, he meditates day and night. And what does it say? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Neither shall his leaf wither. Amen. We knew. I don't know how we knew. Maybe somebody preached on it. But we knew that the only way that we were going to have that blessing and that fruit was to sink deep roots into the Word of God. And we did. We did. Do you remember? Remember from whence you are fallen and do the first works. First love, first works, meditating on the Word of God night and day. And we did prosper. We bore fruit. Our leaf did not wither. We were able to get victories and victories and victories through much struggle. Why? Because we meditated on the Word of God night and day. Somewhere along the line, though, we forgot this. The very next verse, it says, but the ungodly are not so. Are not so what? Folks, we became ungodly when we quit meditating on the Word of God night and day. You and I absolutely knew Psalm 23, verse 2, without any doubt, we lived it. You could quote it. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What's the next verse or phrase? He restoreth my soul. How does he do that? Now, what does a sheep do? What kind of animal is a sheep? He is a ruminant. He's got multiple stomachs. Now, that's about as far as I can go with anatomy on that. But when he lays down, and you've seen cows, I don't see a lot of sheep, but you've seen cows out in the pasture. They're ruminants too. And what are they doing? Everything they've eaten, they're ruminating on, right? They bring it back up and they chew on it again. Folks, that's meditation. That is God's people having that quiet time in their life where they not just hear, not just eat, not just get another sermon, but where they take it home and they think about it and meditate on it and get it down into their life. Folks, it is not what you eat. It is what you chew on and digest that nourishes you. We used to do that. Meditation. When Moses was dead, and the Lord came and spoke to Joshua, the Lord did not talk about strategy. The Lord did not talk about the enemy. He did not talk about weapons or troop placement. He told Joshua this. Do you know it? You know it. You could quote it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. We believed that at one time. We did that. That was first works for us. Amen. Somebody preached on that and we said in our heart, I've got to put more emphasis on the Word of God. You started getting, do you remember what those things were? 3x5 cards. You had them everywhere. I did. You carried them to work with you. Do you remember those first works? How sincerely you wanted to prosper and to have success in your Christian life, and you knew what you needed to do. You had to keep that Bible in front of you constantly, right? First works. I mean, you wrote them down, you heard it, and you said, I can't forget that. Amen. I've got to remember that one. And you knew how easy it was for you to forget verses. You ever been there? You had that thing memorized, but boy, when the trial comes, it's like, what was it? Well, you got that card out because it helped you remember. You had it on your mirror for when you were shaving or whatever you women do. And I mean, that's what you did. Those were first work. That was the first work. The first work. That kind of emphasis, meditating therein day and night. And guess what? God was pleased to make us prosper. And we had some success, did we not? Indeed, we overcame. James 1, verse 18, we studied this at length. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Oh, we were so swift to hear. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Boy, there's it. That's it. The engrafted word. How many of you, so that you could be a sound Christian, so that you could grow? Now, I'm talking remember now. Let me stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Do you remember how much you wanted to please God? How much you wanted to lay aside all filthiness all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness? You wanted it all gone. You engrafted that word into your heart. Yes, you did. Remember? Was it not like that? That first love? As sure as the Holy Spirit drove our Savior into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the Holy Spirit drove us as young Christians into this book. Amen? It wasn't something else that we do. It was the thing we did. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth. We did not ever want to forget again, did we? Oh, no. No, we wanted to be reminded. And the only way to do that was to meditate on this book night and day. Elsewhere, otherwise, we would forget. Even, I mean, with good intentions, we get up with good intentions and we pray. And then the trial came. Do you remember it? And we forgot. We forgot. We didn't want to do that anymore. That's why we got into this book so earnestly, so sincerely. The sincere milk of the word. Oh, amen. We did not ever want to forget. We were so swift to hear. Oh, how we engrafted that word into our heart so that we could meditate it on day by day. We knew that we could not be saved. It said, engrafted word that it might save your soul. We believed that. We believed it. That it could save our soul day by day over the temptations of the world, over the horrible things in our own heart, over everything. It would save us if we would just engraft it into our heart and we would just give it everything. And we did, and God blessed, and we prospered. Remember, I just want to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. First love drove you to make this book more than something you do occasionally. It's not just hearing a message. Do you know the devil has no problem filling this church up, solid pews, with people that just hear? He fears a group of people that take what they hear and go home and meditate on it and think about it and mull it over. Because when people do that, it changes their life. I'm convinced there's not a person that serves, that goes off into a mission field, that gets busy in church, that isn't focusing on the Word of God. If he's praying more, it's because he's reading verses about praying, and he knows he needs to put it in his life, so he started memorizing them. He started meditating on it, and guess what? He starts praying. The person that thinks, I need to serve more, what does he do? He gets in, God drives him to this book, and he starts meditating on all of those verses about serving, and guess what? He goes to the pastor and says, I want to do something. It all stems from meditating on God's Word, period. I don't think anything happens in a church where God's people don't first focus on something in this book, because that's how God brings the blessing. That's how he brings the refreshing. That's how he brings the prospering, the fruit. Everything comes from meditation on this book. Do you remember? We knew that there was something deadly to our souls. We did, didn't we? Dangers everywhere. And we ridded the garden of our heart of every weed that would compete with this word. Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world troubles, and the deceitfulness of riches. Can you finish it? Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Folks, we're talking about that quiet time that you carve out. You remember doing it. You wouldn't let anything get in its way. If there was something that was causing you not to focus on your Bible, it was interrupting that quiet time, you got rid of it. You weeded that stuff out. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to do any of that until I've had my quiet time. I've got to meditate on this book. I've got to put it first. We're not going to go do that. We're not going. Now, all of it was legitimate, but it was choking out the word. And you made sure you did. It was first work. You put your priorities in order to get all of those weeds out of your heart so that you could be that good ground here that brings forth fruit in his season. You remember doing it? You made sure you did it. You did. You did. You weren't going to let that get in your way. You wanted victory. You wanted grace. You wanted that courage to be able to witness. You saw how timorous you were. You got in here and you memorized those verses. You had to if you were going to be what you needed to be for Christ. First works. Oh, how we listen for our Savior's voice. Folks, let me have a sip of water. I'm getting dry. We were saved. Oh, yes, sir. We were gloriously saved. But we brought with us into this life an old life, an old man that was bound by habits. You remember? You remember? That was bound by habits, plagued by terrible thoughts, damaged by offenses. Oh, yeah, things that happened to us before we ever got saved. And guess what? All of those were dragged right into this life when God saved us. Now, if you got saved out of a Christian home as a little child, bless your heart. You don't know what I'm talking about. But if you got saved late and you grew up in an alcoholic's home, or you were a substance abuser or whatever, you got saved, you got gloriously saved. But brother, those things came right along with you, did they not? And you knew that you wanted victory over these things, and God had promised that he could help you. There was a brute beast still within us that needed slaying, and you had to have all that the Word of God could give you and you had to focus on it. You wanted victory. Oh, how many times we despaired, did we not? I was a young Christian. I thought I was never going to get any grace. My wife still doesn't think I've gotten grace yet. She still prays for me. All joking aside, I honestly didn't think, it was like, Lord, am I ever going to get any victory in this area of my life? And we heard his voice saying, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Amen. Just keep focusing. Just keep going. What was that? Folks, it was one of those things we read of in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, we hung on to that promise like a drowning man, did we not? Just be faithful, son. In due time, you're going to get victory, but you got to stay in the book. That ye might be partakers, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, we hung onto those promises like a drowning man, and we became partakers of the divine nature. Little by little, amen, we were the just man that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more to the perfect day. We didn't shine perfectly, but we shined a little bit more. Amen? And if we'll just remember, our first works will keep on shining. We'll keep on glorifying God. We wanted those promises so bad. They became companions of ours, did they not? They talked to us along the way. Isn't that what it says of the Word of God? It shall talk to thee as thou goest along the way. It'll be a light. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. We needed help day by day, and we needed to know the right way to go. Amen. Two different things there. And we had to stay in the Word of God because we needed to know what to do with those lost sinners at that job. We needed to know how to witness to our family. We needed to know how to behave ourselves step by step, a light unto our feet, lest we stumble, but also direction for our way. Amen. We had major decisions to make in our life. What do we do about that woman, about that man, about husbandry? That's the path. Amen. I don't have to make that decision right now, but I know I shouldn't date lost people, right? Right, the path. Oh, how we had to get into the Word of God and meditate on it and not let it go. We wanted to hear God's first voice so bad. He said, come unto me, Matthew 11, all ye that labor, oh boy, and are heavy laden. I came into this Christian life heavy laden. I was not some little junior boy in Sunday school with godly parents. I was not. I came into this life heavy laden, and I needed rest. It was a burden, this thing I carried into this life. All the sin, the thoughts, the evil emotions, all the offenses of the past, the devil kept bringing back. And that's not, oh, I remember. It's so easy to get bitter. And we came, and our Savior kept saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But what was needed? Learn of me. Folks, that's nothing but meditating on the Word of God. And in that is rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. We learned that pride, self-will, bitterness, unforgiveness were deadly enemies of our soul. And we saw that that only in meekness and lowliness could we find rest as we learned about him. Do you remember? Do you remember? I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. First love and this first work, the very first work you did was to meditate on God's word. Without meditation, there was no blessing. Your leaf withered. Without meditation, there was no restoring of your soul. Without meditation, there was no rest for your soul. Without meditation, there was no strengthening of your spirit to help you when you got weary in well-doing. Without meditation, there was no... Now listen to this. Without meditation, there was no saving power in this book. Folks, it is not what you know. It is what you feast on, what you get down deep in your soul. That's going to save you. It's going to change your life. Can't help but. Without meditation, there was no good success, Joshua 1. Without meditation, there was no partaking of the divine nature. Folks, all of it, the very first work that God led us to was meditating thereon day and night. The devil does not care what you hear. You can hear great sermons. What he's afraid of is what you go home and think about. What you meditate on is going to change you. It might just change the world around you too. Amen. Change your home, change your work, change everything. God bless you. I have tried the best I can. Do you remember first love? Do you remember how good it was? Do you remember what he led you to do? First works, meditating on the word of God. Heavenly Father, help us all, I pray, to give this book the emphasis we gave it when we loved you with all of our hearts, when we were spiritual and wanted your mind above all else that we might judge everything in our life, so that we could prosper, so that we could be refreshed, so that we could find rest, so that we could find grace. God in heaven, bring us back this coming year to meditating on your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.